Last thing, my at the Creek, they give out this award at every. They have award ceremonies every quarter.
They do,
right? You know.
Yep.
And so you try to make a couple, and they give out this one award that I told them this is like the Heisman Trophy. It's called the Soaring Eagle Award.
Yes.
All right. So my kid got it in kindergarten, and I always make fun of them because like, all right, first grade didn't get it, and then I start asking other kids. Oh, yeah, I got 3 Soaring Eagles. I've won 2 Soaring Eagles. I've won 4 Soaring Eagles. I'm like, Brooks, you got to get another Soaring Eagle. He's like, all right. I said, you got to do nice things for people. You got to get the Soaring Eagle. All right. I go, so by 3rd grade, still hadn't gotten a Soaring Eagle. 4th grade, I said, I'm not coming anymore until you get the Soaring Eagle. So it becomes this quest. So the last one comes and goes, and I go, well, are you getting the Soaring Eagle? And he goes, no, I'm not getting the Soaring Eagle. So we went 0-for on the Soaring Eagle. We walked out with just one. I mean,
he's Tebow instead of Archie Griffin.
I mean, what the heck, man?
We got our first one this year.
You got one?
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
One. Thank you.
Now you
got
to push him to get 2.
I absolutely will.
Everybody gets one. You got to get 2.
Get out the stick, Dave.
He's still got a few years to go, though.
He does.
Despite the fact that he, like his dad, is a rather large young
he
lad.
He could probably play linebacker for some high school.
He may play linebacker in college right now.
Maybe he will. You know what? Jags are a little thin at the position. So,
all right, fellas.
Hey, have a great day, man. Enjoy your myriad graduations that you have going on. David Garrard's in the house. Fat Tony is here. Dan Hicken with dreams of Kevin Durant dancing in his head. Exits the studio right now. Stage left. Good morning, everybody. What's up, Dave? How are you, bud?
I am good. Feeling good.
Last minute audible on the locale this morning.
It was like 3 audibles.
It was. You know, hey, let's go to the studio. To the studio. No, let's go to the stadium. Nah, you know what? That drill's
and
not
I was
really
on my
working.
Way to the stadium. I'm glad you
pocket
dialed me.
You just right. I did pocket dial. Well, I texted you and then I pocket dialed you. So
because I didn't get that text.
You had both forms of communication potentially going on anyway. The drilling was a little too much to put up with today. We will check in at the stadium via John Osher coming up here in a few minutes, but we'll get into a number of things. Jaguar OTAs wrap up today. Minicamp next week. ESPN put out a ridiculous, and I'll tell you why it's ridiculous, list of 10 NFL sophomores primed to break out. Which Jaguar may be on that list, and what do they say about him? We'll tell you about that coming up a little bit later on. Tony, question of the day. You posted... it was a collaborative effort today. If you could give us the exact specifics of our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, what would they be?
It was, if you could be Shad Khan for a day, what would be the first 3 things you would do?
3 things.
Yes.
Basically like 3 wishes, but as Shad Khan.
Yes.
Not as you can't wish for more wishes. That doesn't work. I don't think Shad has that power. Does he? Maybe he does. I don't know. I'd like to find out. I'd like to live his life for a day. So if you could be Shad for a day... What 3 things would you do or like to get accomplished in that day? They can be personal things. They can be Jaguar related, whatever the case may be. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at DavidGerard9, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at MD_1010XL on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You can call the program today and discuss the topic of the day or anything else Jaguar or NFL related that you like at 641-1010. That's also the text line driven by Duval Ford, and we'll check that out periodically as well. Just getting started on this Friday, big vacation Friday for Dan Hicken. Speaking of vacation, Tony.
I know you
tick tick tick. The clock
you're like,
is ticking.
Because you're out early next week.
I got 2 shows left. Yeah, today and next Wednesday.
You're out Monday and Tuesday, so you're here with me on Wednesday, and then we'll see you for the 4th of July.
Actually, you'll see me for June 30th. I don't
okay.
know if you that's the did you get my text on that?
No, oh,
one's getting my text.
Oh, I did.
June, so 30
that's
days
like
the, of September,
that's
June and
Thursday
November.
That's before the Friday, before we got a 3-day weekend.
That is correct, sir. I have 3 more shows left in June, with you, anyway. But I'll be happy to call in next Monday and Tuesday, if you'd like, from the Fantasy Sports Trade Association up in New York, because I will be doing a grueling, quick turnaround to the Big Apple next week. Oh, it's going to be so tough. But then by this time next Thursday, we'll be long gone out to the great American Southwest. All right, let's take a time out here. Come back. John Osher, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, will kick things off, get us caught up on the latest. The Jags yesterday making the rounds in a charitable way, visiting kids at a variety of healthcare locales here in town. That was pretty cool. We'll find out from John how that all went, as I'm sure he was out there covering one of the stops. Seemed like most of the folks who worked down at the stadium were involved in it in some capacity. And we'll just see what's on tap, not only for the final day of OTAs, but for next week's mini camp, where we hope to see you out there as well. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today on this Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
intercepted in the end zone to Sean Gibson. Out across the 20. And still on his feet to the 27. The turnover by Cutler in the end zone. It's high and intercepted off the fingertip of Marshall. Second interception for Gibson, who may take it to the house and does.
You know, Gibson, you know, kind of specifically can cover a lot of ground and does a good job. And we were talking about on the way out here this morning, you know, how much tighter the windows have gotten with him back there playing center field, because he can move.
Throw in this direction, he's picked off. Abu Kamara with the interception.
Who was he serving for? As funny as it is, me and Coach Bradley played a little bit of one-on-one out there on the court, and I'm not going to say he won, but I signed here. And because me and House, Devon House, we have a pretty good friendship, and just talking to him and finding out what Jacksonville is about and the direction that they're heading, it excited me.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and David Garrard.
All right, it's a little bit late to hear the open, but we're not going to let a show go by without having one, Tony. Maybe the first time we've ever missed it in the opening segment. We got a little wrapped up in middle school graduation talk, which is always a key target demo topic to throw at our listening audience out there, unquestionably. Let's get John Osier on board. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard here with you on 1010XL. Johnny O down at Everbank as the OTAs wrap up for the Jags. Week 3, final day on the field. What's up, Osier? How are you?
That was unbelievable. What is it, like 2 o'clock you're doing the open?
Yeah, you like that? It is. It's 2 o'clock somewhere, buddy. Somewhere out in the over the mid-Atlantic. It's 2 o'clock right now.
I'm excited today, and I think David can speak to this too. Gene Frenette just walked in, Dave, and when Gene walks into a practice, it's big.
Huge.
It's a big day.
It's a moment, isn't it? It's kind of a moment.
Yeah,
everyone,
well,
I think you have to pause.
Anybody who's been around Gene will tell you.
All the players stop, heads turn, that kind of thing.
Hey, is that Gene?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Excitement.
Well, then now I know.
Expect a big day.
I know to head to Frenette's Twitter timeline because I know there'll be some good stuff coming down the line because he is the master of social media, as we've discovered in the last couple of years. John, yesterday, let's take that first. A lot of us thought they would cancel today's practices as kind of a habit. Sometimes the final one, they give them a reward if they've worked hard. But instead, they flipped the script a little bit. They didn't tell the players until they showed up yesterday that they were going to visit local area kids in, you know, Ronald McDonald House, Wilson's, Nemours, Brooks Rehab, I think were the locales that they went to. How did the event go, and why did they decide to do it that way?
Well, I went over to the Ronald McDonald House with the quarterbacks and the defensive backs. So I saw how that went. I think a lot of people saw the picture of Marquise Lee talking to the child that I tweeted. It was really cool. And Gus kind of told him, hey, we usually take this day for ourselves because it's sort of a tradition, as you said, to give a player one day off during OTAs. And probably the guys at first were like, man, what's the day off? And then once they got there, you know, all the players said this was a really cool thing. You could see that a lot of these guys enjoy this sort of event. And it was a neat thing. And Derek said it best of, you know, sometimes when guys go to these situations, not all these players are used to going and doing that. And you sort of see them as the event goes on, really warming to it and getting into it. So it's always cool. And these guys do enjoy seeing up close that they mean something to these young people. So obviously a neat thing.
Yeah, and John, honestly, you know, they've done the bowling thing before. They went and saw Entourage as a group last year. I think doing this kind of thing really can bring those guys together more than just going to a movie. This is an experience that they've had that they may be able to talk about for a long time about having met such and such a person and impacted their life. This is a lot more long-lasting than just going to bowl 10 frames.
Yeah, and as you guys know, it's all how you approach an event like this. If you go and stand in the back, then you don't get much out of it. It was neat to see the defensive backs. Again, I was over at the Ronald McDonald House, and a lot of the defensive backs and quarterbacks were inside cooking for the people there. I followed Aaron Colvin and just several other guys out and sort of watched them. Prince Amukamara was out there, and I watched them playing basketball with the kids. And Colvin, quite frankly, manned up on a couple of the kids, blocked the shot out of bounds. You know, but it was fun to see because one of the kids put a move on Sip, I think it was, or maybe Colvin, and I hit a jump shot. The guys went nuts. You saw Sip go over to him later and was like, hey, man, great. You know, if you can think back to when you were 6 or 7 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and what that sort of thing would have meant to you, it was really cool. And then I wasn't over at Wolfson, but to hear Marquise Lee, whose parents were both deaf, that he was communicating with a deaf child there, that had to have been cool. I mean, so, again, these guys, they're 23 to 29 years old. They have lives. They're doing their thing. But on an event like this, it is cool to see them sort of, I think A-Rob said it. It's not so long ago, with these guys being so young, a lot of these guys can remember really well the age that they were dealing with yesterday.
John, you know, just as a player, I remember when we did do these events, you know, a lot of the guys, not a lot of them, but some of them would, you know, love to have that off day and be able to spend the time with themselves or their families, that kind of stuff. So some of them would kind of begrudgingly go to these events. But by the time the event was over and done, man, they were all changed in so many ways. And they were so thankful for being able to go to those events because they see that, you know, not everybody is living the same kind of life they're living at this point in time. And the fact that they can take some time out and go spend with these kids that are, you know, having a tough time in life, just to see the smiles that are put on those faces and the way that they change those kids, you know, pretty much for life, it really, really affects them. And then a lot of those guys would go on and do other things afterwards as far as like their charity events, getting foundations started just because of moments like that, because they have not really been put in those positions. So I can tell you that, you know, sometimes guys are a little, you got to push them a little bit to get there, but man, once they get there and once they are done with that event, you just feel so much better about life and what you can help in this world. And so
I think it's sort of the cliche. Everybody always hears athletes talk about giving back.
Yeah.
And even in the media sometimes, like, okay, here's another athlete talking about giving back, and you hear it all the time. But then when you see an event like this, you realize that there really is a strong element. When these guys go out to these things, it really does give back, because to the people they're going to talk to, it's not a cliche. So, it's a cool thing. I got credit to Gus for sort of seeing, hey, this is a day we can all do this. And as David said, now that the whole team has done it, I'm sure you'll see different guys get a little more involved as well. So pretty cool.
So, John, final day now of OTA practice, now that that event is over with, what are they trying to accomplish today as they wrap up OTAs? And then how will the tenor change as next week minicamp has some different rules that govern it?
Well, doing pretty much the same thing they've been doing. You don't see a real change in tempo today. Today's is not a quote-unquote walkthrough with just half. I mean, this is a regular OTA practice. I think certainly the first two of next week will be. Not much is going to change next week. I mean, I think the big thing that will change, A, it's mandatory, but attendance really hasn't been an issue anyway, so that's not really a big story. And the fans will be out here. So I think the fans will see the first 2 days what everybody's been seeing. That'll be the big difference. There'll be more energy along those lines. David can tell you when these guys are being watched, it's a little more upbeat. There's a little more talking, all these things. But I think what fans are going to see, before you guys call, I'm sitting here looking at the team and I'm thinking, you know, for the first time, I've been writing the talk all off season and I've been listening to it and I've been talking to you, Mike. But boy, when you look at this team on the field, there is so much more talent and so much more speed. I was talking to Pizlesny, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. I said, tell me about this defense. And he was just talking about how much faster it was. And I said, you mean on the field right now? And he said, yeah, on the field right now. And he kind of paused and he goes, and Jalen and Miles aren't even out there. And I know that's been talked about already, but to see the look on Paz's face, the guy who's been around, and talk about that sort of talent level change, and Gibson and Fowler and these guys, you know, I don't know what the early record will be next season because it's all coming together. I do know there's so much more potential on this team than I've ever seen before that it's got a chance to be very, very interesting.
John, Miles Jack will be back on the field next week for minicamp with this Jacksonville team. What is the expectation for how they want to use him through that week, how much they just want to throw him into the fire a little bit with these guys, and what position do you think he'll be playing?
Well, I think it's a lot more thrown into the fire. My expectation is that they'll probably play him at middle the same way they did in rookie camp, just because the thought is that gives you the most information on the defense. It's very hard to project for me right now exactly where he'll be playing next year in the base situation. But I think when practicing, especially in what for him will still be an initiation period, if you will, I think you'll see him a lot at middle because I think eventually that's where he's going to wind up playing full time. Maybe not this year, but at some point. So I think they want him to learn the entire defense as quickly as possible.
All right, John, as we wrap up here, as you wrap up the final day of OTAs and we wrap up your segment, what do you have coming up on Jaguars.com over the weekend to get us ready for minicamp?
A story today, a little bit talking about that speed factor. It's just become such a topic among the defensive players of how much faster this team are. It is. Fizlesi said something interesting. You know, it's great to be fast. And now the focus is making sure they're on the details, that they know this defense enough to play as fast as they are. So I think some interesting stuff about what they're trying to get out of this, these 3 or 4 weeks.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there at the practice field next week as well, open to the public on Tuesday and Wednesday. So hopefully they'll take advantage of that. John, thanks for checking in, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, buddy. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, and, of course, on Twitter, simply at John Osier. Dave, it's a great perspective because you've been through it, you know, having these kind of things. Tony and I talked a good bit about it yesterday. We don't talk much about the off-the-field good things that players do, and they're, you know, we probably never will talk all that much about it because it's not controversial, and that's the kind of things that you know, people fall on either side of or making for a great debate. But you yourself, do you remember the first one of these events, whether even if it was maybe back in college, what was the first one of these kind of things that you did, if you can recall?
Yeah, it was going to the hospital when I was at East Carolina, and it was just a children's hospital. And so we all came in as players. I had never done anything like that before. And just playing with the kids that were there. Some of the kids couldn't get out of bed. So just hanging kind of bedside, talking to them all wearing their ECU Pirates gear. Just they couldn't believe that the actual players were.
You're like superheroes to them at that point.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it just continues to grow, you know, as you're in the league, it even ramps up even more, you know. So it really does change you every time you go. Like I said, you're kind of looking forward to being off, to maybe laying down on the couch, taking a nap or something like that. And then when you go to these events, I'm telling you, but when you leave them, you're changed in such a way. It's so empowering, such a powerful thing. For you as a player, but like I said, for those kids, for those people that you're actually touching their lives and giving them a little bit of hope and a little bit of just some positivity for that day because they still have to go back to whatever they're dealing with. So it really does lift them up a little bit and helps them in their walk.
All right, good stuff. David Garrard here with us, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by. By the way, the program has sounded better over the last 10 minutes. Because Donna Murphy's in producing for Tyler Devin. Where's he at, Donna? Is he in some quote, air quotes, meeting right now?
Yeah, learning how to be better.
He's taking his 15-minute smoke break early today, Tyler is apparently. He's got a lot to learn. All right, moving along. We'll come back, take a look at a couple of things out there, including sophomores primed to break out in the National Football League, and am I walking into a death trap on my vacation? They're not related. We'll explain what they mean coming up next right here on Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Tony, give me a quick text line update, served by Duval Ford, please, on the early feedback on what you would do if you were Shad Khan for a day. You had three things you could do. What would you like to get accomplished in that day?
Here are the first three responses we got, okay, from the 402. First thing I do is take all the Jags cheerleaders into my private quarters. Second thing would be to find a way to get Winston in Jacksonville. And third thing is to find replacements for the host on Jaguars Today.
Oh, they want us gone.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought your salaries would increase.
No. If we were Shad Khan for a day, they would significantly.
If I was Shad Khan for a day, I wouldn't need a salary.
Yeah. The second response, first, I'll ask Gus about maybe mixing in some wins this season. Second, take the yacht out for a spin. Third, get some hotties and look for the chick to steal the show. And then the third response we got, 1, 2, and 3, fire Dempsey.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the problem with that. I don't work for Shad Khan.
Nope.
So suck it, texter. All right? You can't get rid of me that easily.
I looked back at some of the other things that texter had sent, and apparently you had gotten into it with him over driving under the influence. It's like the only other time that he's texted. He asked, sure, you never did anything stupid when you were young. And you
so this guy likes to drive drunk, and he hates it when I get on drunk
and you
drivers.
Responded,
I'm sorry.
You responded, I'd never have a beer and get behind the wheel now, despite what I may or may not have done in my past. And he was like, jackass, was the response he gave to you.
Right, because everyone should have at least one, Tony. Come on. It's the one beer to have when you're having more than one. Schaefer.
Fantastic.
That is fantastic. Hey, you're a jackass still, all right? I got to get him in. I only got three shows in June left to go. You're going to get your wish for about 2 weeks. There, buddy, Mr. J.A. All right, a couple of things. A, we'll start with, how would you characterize Stoffless Prime? Friend of the program, friend of ours. I think I'd consider him my personal friend. I've met him, I've hung out. He's a good dude, right?
It's safe to call him a Jaguar super fan, right?
He's a Jaguar super fan. He was tweeting us from Poland the other day. He's an international man of mystery and all these good things. So anyway, he sends me, I think he's doing this in a nice way. He said, be careful out there. He sent me a story about a man falling into the hot springs at Yellowstone National Park. And
I didn't know you could get close enough to fall in.
Well, you're not supposed to. He basically dissolved to death, though. All right. According to the story, the guy went 225 yards. They have these boardwalks. I haven't been, but I'm going in a couple weeks. And apparently they have these boardwalks, Dave, where you walk, and this is the area you stand because the hot springs, I've been looking these up a little bit, they bubble up all these minerals, and the minerals dry out and they get crusty, and that forms what looks like solid ground, but they say it's like a thin sheet of ice that you'd be walking on if you walk out there. The temperature at the top is about 93 degrees. That's Celsius, okay? That's 199 degrees Fahrenheit, okay? You go below the water, it's hotter. Okay, plus you've got some, like, acidic stuff going on in there. So basically, this clown, 23 years old, may he rest in peace, Darwin Awards here, goes 225 yards off the beaten path, two football fields away from where he's supposed to be, falls into the hot spring. The rescuers or the park attendants, whatever, they go try to get as close as they can. There was nothing retrievable from his body. He was done. They found a few effects. I'm guessing like a metal belt buckle and things like that. He had basically boiled alive in the hot springs at Yellowstone.
Can you not feel as you're getting closer, like maybe 100 yards out, that, okay, this is probably far enough.
This is really hot.
I'm already 150 yards
this
from where I
should be. This is significantly hotter than
it's like 140
yards
degrees where I'm at right now at that speed.
Why is the ground crunching and cracking every step I take.
Oh, my gosh.
You would think so, right? And apparently, recently, as well, another dad, I don't know why he was carrying his 13-year-old son. I don't know if he was handicapped or something, but a father was carrying a 13-year-old boy and fell in, lost his balance, and they both fell in, and the kid got scalded severely, and I assume the dad wasn't exactly out for a picnic after that, but they did not die, but apparently like 20 to 22 people have died falling into hot springs at Yellowstone since 1890. So not a common occurrence.
Yeah, but how many times you need to know that you're going to die if you go into the hot spring?
One's enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
One good warning ought to do it. So
the signs out there should say, you will die if you get any closer than this sign right
Correct.
Here.
Also, these animals are truly wild, and you may not want to get up in their grill and maybe, you know, snap a selfie or something like that with that grizzly bear. Yeah. Or whatever it is. Apparently, somebody out there, also, they saw a bison, like a little bison cub, and it was all by itself, and they thought, oh, no. It's going to die. Let's go save it. They pick it up. They put it in their car. And now the bison died, I guess, because the herd rejected it because it had been touched by a human. They could smell
That's it. That's how most animals are like that.
So there you go. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
You're saying the Lost World is BS? Like they fixed up that T-Rex's, the baby T-Rex's leg. You're saying that baby T-Rex is dead to that mama?
I think you're right. A good point.
I think all the T-Rexes are probably dead.
Man, except for that one that's on that golf course in Sarasota or whatever it is, man. That thing is just
I saw that
the gator.
It looks fake.
They've got fresh video, though. Video. Apparently, it is really
it's like the size of a 15-footer pickup truck.
It's crazy how big that thing is.
I saw that thing.
They said it's just kind of like the mascot for the... For the course, they did. Nobody's going to mess with it.
That's why it's the mascot.
All right. I will do... For this guy's sake, for the texter's sake, he's hoping he's like, 225. That's not that far. Just go, Dempsey. Go. Take a good look.
Get closer.
Peer over the edge. And by the way, the Grand Canyon's not as deep as you think it is. Let's get right up to the edge there. All right. Here we go. ESPN. Have you ever heard of Vincent Verhey?
No.
I think Jaguar Twitter needs to introduce themselves to Vincent, okay? 10 NFL sophomores primed to break out.
Okay.
Okay, first let me go through the list, and then I'll just tell you what they said about, it's no great surprise, Dante Fowler Jr. would be among these kind of players, okay? You've got Preston Smith, linebacker for the Redskins, rookie last year, had 8 sacks. You know, very good start to his career, and about half the snaps of J.J. Watt, they say, you know, so you extrapolated out, he could be a double-digit sack guy. Rashad Perryman didn't play at all, coming out of UCF with the Baltimore Ravens last year. Jeremy Langford, some people debate it because of his yards per carry was below 4 last year, but could be the starter and kind of featured running back for the Chicago Bears this year.
Howard may push him.
They did draft Jordan Howard from?
Indiana.
From?
Indiana.
There it is. All right. Cedric Oboihe, who at one point a couple of years ago was talked about as maybe being the number one overall draft pick when he came out. The offensive tackle out of Texas A&M, and then basically because of injury, had a lost rookie campaign with Cincinnati, didn't get on the field. So they got him in there. Lorenzo Maldon with the Jets, didn't play many snaps, but was very effective rushing the passer in limited snaps last year, and he's going to have a chance to start with Calvin Pace and Quentin Copel's gone. Dante Fowler Jr., I'll get to what they had to say about him in a moment. Kevin White, the Bears wide receiver, right? He didn't play at all last year. He had a stress fracture in the ankle, something like that. Eric Rowe, cornerback, who was taken in the second round by the Philadelphia Eagles last year. I remember a lot of people thinking he might be a first-round pick, and Byron Maxwell is out now in Philly. Ty Sambrello, offensive lineman with the Denver Broncos. Can't really give you too much of his backstory. And then Frank Clark. Isn't he the guy who's guilty of sexual assault? That piece of scum who's apparently switching to outside linebacker with the Seattle Seahawks. All right, that aside, here's what they had to say. See what jumps out at you about the Dante Fowler capsule here. I'm going to mention something called SackSeer. It's SackSeer. It's a projection system that tries to figure out how effective pass rushers are going to be. So I'm going to refer to that.
Looked at it when we were talking about the pass rushers.
Was that what it was?
We were looking at. Yeah.
Okay. Here, all right. Dante Fowler Jr. This is probably a lower ranking than most readers would expect for last year's third overall pick, but our SackSeer projection system wasn't sold on the Florida pass rusher even before he tore his anterior cruciate ligament a year ago. Fowler only had 14.5 sacks in his 3-year career with the Gators, and his combine numbers were mostly below average compared to his peers. We're listing him here because we like Fowler's potential as an all-around linebacker who could also play the run and drop into coverage, though he might not ever get enough sacks to justify his lofty draft status.
Well,
any issues with that?
They're projecting that at the position that he's not playing.
He's not a linebacker. ESPN, and he's not going to be dropping into a whole lot of coverage.
There may
either.
Be a time or two where they do that.
Of course,
because he's
right.
athletic enough to do it from time to time, but he's not. That's not what he's here for.
And they and it's not a typo because they list him in the slug at the top of the paragraph. Dante Fowler Jr., outside linebacker, Jacksonville Jaguars. Someone is confused on what a Leo is. Apparently.
They're not even listing him as the Lotto.
You don't have to call him a Leo or a Lotto. He's a defensive end.
He's certainly not the Otto.
Come on, ESPN's Vincent Vahai or whatever your name is. We like his all-around potential or his potential as an all-around linebacker. That is great if you were playing linebacker. So way to be well-informed. The Entertainment and Sports Programming Network, formerly known as. All right, so there you go. 10 sophomores primed to break out.
How does that kind of stuff happen?
How does that happen?
I mean, seriously, it's not like he was ever drafted to play that position for this football team. That's not why he was brought here to be a Leo for the Jags, and there was some conversation about, well, he's flexible enough that they can move him around a little bit in this movable piece that we might be able to see at a couple different spots on the defense. Maybe occasionally they'll even have him stand up at linebacker and rush from that position. But it was never, we're going to have him stand up and cover tight ends. That was never the plan with Dante Fowler Jr. That's insanity.
No, you could say, you know, had he gone to a 3-4 team and played outside mm-hmm. linebacker, we have questions. Can he do all these different roles? By the way, when they listed the first guy, Preston Smith, this freaking computer's driving me crazy. You see what I'm doing there, David? Yeah. It's driving me crazy. Preston Smith is listed on every depth chart for the Washington Redskins as a weak side linebacker. They play a 3-4, so mm-hmm. he is a linebacker, and yet they list Preston Smith as an outside linebacker / defensive end. So they think he, who actually is a linebacker, is at least half a defensive end, whereas Dante Fowler Jr., who is all of a defensive end, is a full linebacker.
Like, they do understand, like, in football, even. Look, I'm not a football genius, right? But when you're running a 3-4, you're still generally going to send four rushers. That's generally what you do. So you don't know which guy is coming from where. That's kind of the idea of the 3-4 with the way that it was intended, was you just don't know where that fourth rusher is necessarily going to come from. That doesn't mean the guy coming is a defensive end. He's still a linebacker. He just happens to maybe rush more than he plays coverage. But that doesn't make him a defensive end. The defensive end is the bigger guy there in a 3-4. They're just different bodies.
It just
That's
shows you
crazy.
How much these guys know.
All right, here's on the text line. Leo is a buck linebacker. He, us, right. That should be is, but, and you locals show your ignorance. Really? Why don't we ask Gus Bradley that? Because Gus Bradley certainly thinks that he's a defensive end, all right? So is the
they
official,
call him the rush end.
The rush end. So does the official depth chart of the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you want, all right, Mr. Buck linebacker? Ugh. People showing their ignorance on the text line today in droves this morning. Stop it, all right? You don't know what you're talking about. Dante Fowler Jr. is a defensive end, and you can fudge it by calling him a Leo if you want to. He is not certainly an outside linebacker who you need to be worried about how good he is dropping back into coverage on a consistent basis.
And this guy is trying to use him as a buck linebacker. A buck linebacker is a position, but the buck linebacker always rushes. So
right.
We'll get into breaking down a defense, and we'll see the linebackers they have out there, and we'll say he's the buck linebacker because he's always coming.
So even if he were the buck linebacker, the article would still be wrong because he's not dropping into coverage.
No,
that position does not do that.
Coming.
So thank you. Exposing ignorance. It's our forte here on Jaguars Today. Sometimes our own. I don't think that's the case in this particular instance. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. This Dayton football, the Honda drive around the NFL. More with David Garrard, your former Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback. If you'd like to get in on the program, 641-1010, both on the text line. Be careful. And also on the phone lines this morning, tweet us, hit us up on Facebook, whatever the case. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this. If you were Shad Khan for a day, what are the three things you would like to do? First three things you would like to do. Share your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, whatever the case may be. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Don't have much, but several birthdays for this date. June 10th, going back to 1951. Happy 61st birthday. Did you see what just happened right there, David? Happy 65th birthday, I should say, to Dan Fouts, one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up, a Hall of Famer, a six-time Pro Bowler, a two-time first-team All-Pro. Back in the early 80s, threw for 4,800 yards 1 year. That's a lot.
That's
back
a
in
lot.
The early 80s.
Absolutely.
Now, right? I mean, Dan Marino set the mark back then with just over 5,000, but very few guys, Dave, got over even 4,500 yards back in that time frame. But Fouts got it done, had a great collection of weapons in the Air Coryell offense, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1993. Two birthdays for 1983 on this day. Kyle Williams, the Buffalo Bills defensive tackle, four-time Pro Bowler. He turns 33 years old today.
Very good player.
He is a very good player, right? And super strong against the run. Was hurt somewhat last year, looking for a bounce back there, and you know, kind of getting to that stage right now where they're just hoping he's healthy through 16 games, but has been an excellent player. And Marion Barber, born in the state. Marion the Barbarian, loved the nickname. Only made the Pro Bowl once. Keep in mind, for Tebow fans out there, Marion Barber holds a very special significance. When the Denver Broncos played the Chicago Bears in that run of games, right, where they were winning everything in miraculous fashion with those great Tebow comebacks, Marion Barber is the one who all he needs to do is not run out of bounds.
Yeah.
And he goes out of bounds, stops the clock. There's no way Denver gets the ball back. The Chicago Bears will beat the Denver Broncos. The Broncos will never go to the playoffs. And all this angst about, you know, Tim Tebow's place in the National Football League would have been lessened at that point in time. But it didn't happen that way. Marion Barber celebrating his 33rd birthday today. That was a man with a hard running style as well. This date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you've got a snore in the family, maybe it's you, check into the SomnoMed Custom Fit Mouth Guard. It can help that issue and really turn you around. 620-9225, the number. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck, who missed most of last season dealing with an assortment of injuries, is saying that he is begrudgingly accepting that he needs to slide to avoid unnecessary contact. Begrudgingly accepting it. You're the franchise, dude. Slide. You saw what that team looked like without you last year. That's a skill that you need to have at this point in your career. Former Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Roddy White has said that he will either sign for a contender or retire this season. Last year, White had 43 catches, 506 yards, and just one touchdown with the Atlanta Falcons. Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, who dabbed his way to the 2015 NFL MVP award last year, is saying that he is retiring the dab. He says that he will have a brand new celebration during the 2016 season, so don't think for a second that this means he's going to be toning down his on-field antics. The dab blew up last year with even Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech getting into the act. And nothing says cool like Frank Beamer twitching around, trying to do a hip dance and smacking himself in the head with his fist. I'm pretty sure that's the moment Cam decided it was time to move on from the dab.
No longer cool.
No
at
longer
that point
cool.
In time.
When Frank Beamer's in a if you've seen the video, that just twitchy, awful dance that he was doing, it was horrific.
We should go to the desk of one Tyler Devitt right now. If dabbing is on the way out, what is on the way in?
If dabbing's on the way out, what is on the way in?
That's the tactic of a guy who doesn't know what to say. Yeah. Repeat the question.
I don't think I'm in touch with today's youth enough to know the answer to that.
How old are you, Tyler Devitt?
I'm 23.
Jeez.
12-year-olds?
Right. Shall I ask my son what Cam Newton will be doing next? Cam's older than you, my man.
So he's retiring the dab.
He's not going to do the dab this year. He says he will come up with something new. I just want to know if there's anything new that's sweeping the pop culture world. What kind of a gesture that signifies you think you're great? It's going on right there. You point to yourself and give the thumbs up. Hey, look at me. I don't know.
What was that? Cheech Marelli?
Cheech Marin? What?
The A.
Fonzie. Arthur Fonzarelli.
Arthur Fonzarelli. There you go.
Cheech Marelli.
Through a bunch of stuff.
What year were you born?
78.
See, that's the height. Isn't that the year that Fonzie literally jumped the shark? Was 78 the year?
It could
that
he jumped be.
The shark?
I don't know.
You know the expression jump the shark?
No.
You've never heard the expression jump the shark?
No.
Wow.
Is this the Sharks and the Jets?
That's even older. Yeah, West Side Story is even older than that.
No, it's the expression means when you've finally taken something way past the point where it's cool, like into Cam, maybe dabbing has jumped the shark.
Oh,
okay,
no.
The expression comes from, I think it was the final season of Happy Days, right? They went to like SeaWorld or some equivalent of that, and Fonzie gets on water skis with the leather jacket on and jumps, you know, on a water ski jump over a shark pit, tank, whatever the case may be, which at that point was the most absurd thing. Here's Arthur Fonzarelli from, was he from Milwaukee or were just Laverne and Shirley from Milwaukee?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But here's Arthur Fonzarelli from the great upper Midwest, Mr. Cool, going out, I believe, to California to get on water skis in a leather jacket. It was like, wow, really? Okay, Happy Days. Maybe you went one season too long, right? So there you have it.
Took it too far.
Yes. The expression jump the shark is, quite honestly, probably jump the shark as well.
Yeah.
I think
jumped the shark a long time ago.
It did.
A couple of decades ago.
It says the guy who's never heard of it, okay?
According to Art Morelli.
Is that Cheech's brother?
Yeah.
I think he is. All right, Gerard, Mr. Linebacker. Well, we got a couple of minutes here before we go into a break. We mentioned retro before. Retro Rage still going very strong for you guys?
It is going super strong, even as we warm up into these summer months. We have classes in the morning and in the evening. We're not crazy. You can't get out there and kill yourself out there in the middle of the day. But we have a lot of fun in those classes. I think I've mentioned before we have a 65-year-old lady that loves them, loves them, loves them.
Give people an example. People who may be hearing it, what classes? What is Retro Rage?
So Retro Rage is outdoor high-intensity training, basically boot camps, and they're fun. So you get out there, you're going to sweat, you're going to work. We do kettlebells, we do wall balls, ball slams. We have sleds out there. It sounds like a lot, but it really isn't, and it's geared to the people that are out there. So we have levels. We have a level one class, 2 and 3, and that's beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And so you can attend any of those classes, honestly, and the coach for that class will accommodate to whatever your abilities are. So you shouldn't feel nervous. You shouldn't feel like I can't go out there. Like I said, there's a 65-year-old lady that comes out and loves the classes. We have a bunch of different walks that are out there, and they all love it. We have the music blasting. So we have a lot of fun out there. And even within the gym, there's a lot of things going on that we're going to start introducing pretty soon so that people can feel more involved with the gym. That's the number one thing about the gym. You get started and you kind of fade out and you don't return for a while. We want to make it fun so that people look forward to coming to the gym. And so we're, like I said, we're going to be implementing some things here pretty soon, and I'll let you guys know as they come up. But memberships start, basic memberships at $19.99. You can upgrade it to $29.99. That gives you child sitting, tanning, which I love, and and the group classes. So that's VIP membership. But then if you want to join Retro Rage in unlimited outdoor classes, it's a $50 upgrade to your membership. It's well worth it.
Two locations?
One location for the Rage.
For the Rage, but two locations
for the gym. Our gym, yeah. And the other location is Bay Meadows and Southside. The Rage classes go on at our Harbor Village location that's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center. At the corner of Atlantic and San Pablo.
And you can go to RetroFitnessJax.com, just get more general information about Retro Fitness here in Jacksonville.
Yep, you can go to RetroJax.com and find out more information.
Is it just RetroJax?
RetroJax.com.
Throw the fitness out the window. Yeah. RetroJax.com. All right, Dave, we'll have the fitness waiting for you when you
arrive. I'm sure some way it will weave you to the right
side. It probably would, I think, navigate you to the right spot. All right, well, if you're any indication of what Retro Rage can do for somebody, get your butt over to Retro Fitness here in Jacksonville, RetroJax.com online. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on today. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Hopefully after Tropical Storm Colin wound its way through Northeast Florida, you didn't all of a sudden realize, oh my gosh, I've got a leak in my roof. If you do, if you have concerns about the state of your roof, hurricane season, we're in the midst of it now, and it's going to go on for a while, have Bob Roberts come and check it out. First Coast Roofing, re-roofs, repairs, fully licensed and insured. 287-7756, the phone number. And really, you need that peace of mind, whether you want a new roof, whether you're just checking things out to make sure you don't need a new roof. Call Bob Roberts, license number CCC056797. That's 287-7756, the number for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Back in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard here with you, Tyler Devitt along as well. We're back over at 1010XL World Headquarters today. Jags on the field for the final day of OTA practices, mini camp next week. Tony, have we locked it down? Are we meaning you, out there Tuesday by the practice field? I would assume
yes.
That's the case.
Wednesday, well. We're out there, yep.
I will join you Wednesday live and in person. I will enjoy that. In the sunshine, that will be my tune-up for vacation.
Now, obviously, since we're going to be out there broadcasting next week, we can finally talk about what's going on the field, right?
Those days we can. Yeah, if it's all over right. The public, you can actually talk about what's going on in the
finally.
Field. Dave, let me ask you this. In off-season work, not a whole lot of contact going on right now. Give us in a typical week, let's say you practice three times in a week, how many fights break out at in three practices on average? One? Do you get one a day? Or I guess it depends on, pushing and shoving maybe doesn't count so much. I mean, how would you answer that?
Yeah, you'll probably get a couple within those 3 days, especially in the training camp. That's when it really boils up
because jobs are on the line.
Well, it's that it's hot.
You're tired of seeing
yeah,
the same guys.
Tired of seeing the same guys. Somebody did something earlier in camp and did a little something more again, and now it's escalated. So usually training camp OTAs, guys are pretty. You might have one where somebody's just doing way too much.
Have you ever seen a situation where a guy came to a team you were playing on who previously was on another roster and had something between himself and a member of his new team, and that carried over? They brought their baggage with them. Has that ever happened?
No, I don't ever remember seeing that happen, because usually once you're on our team, you're on our team.
Gotcha.
And
past transgressions
yeah,
are forgiven.
You usually forget a lot of that stuff unless it's something that was really, really dirty. But
right.
Just on the field kind of stuff, nah, you usually forget that kind of stuff.
All right. Jaguars Thursday last night, JP Shattuck was hosting along with Jeff Logman. And Logs got into, just talking about what he could about what's been going on in the field, I guess, this past week. And Yannick Ngakoue, who's been getting a lot of praise from a lot of observers to say, hey, he really looks the part. Dante Fowler Jr. told us that, Tony, earlier this week, that he felt as well. Kind of tangled with one of the veterans on the squad, your guy, Mercedes Lewis. This is what Jeff had to say last night.
There were a couple near skirmishes last week.
I don't remember that.
That's because you are busy talking to other people on the sideline and not watching practice.
Thanks,
much.
Jeff. Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad you showed up every day, too.
But there were.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And I was hoping for one that would come to fruition. Ngakoue and Mercedes Lewis had a little bit of it, because and it happens every year. There's a young player that thinks that the NFL is not allowed to hold. And Mercedes has some of the best hands and some of the strongest hands of any tight end in the league. He's literally like a left tackle at times in pass protection. And he snatched Ngakoue, and Ngakoue didn't like it. And I'm just sitting there going, Ngakoue, that's not a guy you want to mess with. Go ahead, because he might make you look bad. And it all kind of simmered down, and I was hoping for a little rematch later in practice, but it didn't happen. I kept looking for it, but it didn't happen. And there was a couple other times where things got a little pushy, but that's okay.
That's good, right?
It's competition. If that doesn't happen, you're not teaching competition.
All right, let's be honest here. Which was the tougher skirmish? Ngakoue v. Lewis or Shadrick versus Logman?
I was hoping that was going to happen.
Right?
Yeah.
I think in that role, Jeff would be the veteran that JP probably better understand what he's getting himself into in that circumstance. But didn't sound like, much of a big deal. But what about that? Like the young guys coming
in? Oh, yeah. I was going to say, the young guys thinking they're proving something in practice. Like, man, they're going to make the team on this play right here in practice in the third OTA practice. Like, no, dude, you're not winning a starting job right now against me. Like, we're teammates. And so that happens a lot because they're trying to prove themselves to the coaches and everybody else. And so they're going 1,000 miles an hour, which is good. But it's, you know, at somebody else's, you know,
potential expense, at least.
Exactly.
Right?
And so Marseille's probably said something to him. You know, he's like, dude, calm down some. You know, it's all good. Just calm down a little bit. And he's like, nah, man, I'm going to keep coming. I'm coming. it's time to win the Super Bowl right now on this play. You know, and so.
Y'all haven't had it. Y'all yeah, can Gakwe on this team before.
Exactly.
Okay?
So he thinks he's a little bit better and stronger and, you know, he was the man on his team in college, and so he's coming to the pros now, still feeling that way, still having that chip on his shoulder, and usually takes a vet to kind of knock that chip off and settle him down a little bit.
Understood, but at the same time, do you kind of look for that and hope
you do,
that
yeah,
these young guys have that?
Absolutely, because,
right?
I mean, you don't want to try to build somebody into that. You want to have somebody up at that level that you can say, dude, we're on the same team. You know, I love it. I love what you're doing, but, you know, we're on the same team. You don't want to have to, hey, come on, man, give me a little bit more. You ain't trying. I need, you know, you don't want to go the other way.
Right.
So I would much rather have somebody that is doing a little bit more, a little bit too much, because he's going to be a vet one day and say, man, I used to do the same thing.
Right.
This is amazing.
I remember when I was against Mercedes Lewis. Yeah, exactly. He was a monster, I tell you, 6'6".
And he is right. You do not mess with Mercedes. He's not one of the guys on the team that you want to flex on.
Does he still do all that MMA stuff? I know he did the training. I don't know if that was just to get into shape or to really learn, you know, the skills. I would assume you can't help but pick up some combat skills.
He's just country strong,
skills.
Too. He's not
Is
even
he?
From the country, but he's just country strong, man.
Some of those guys, man, it's all right. I mean, they just have that man strength, you know.
Absolutely.
From an early age, Tony. But Ngakoue, we've talked about him. He's going to be counted on to maybe play a significant role on this football team.
No doubt. And look, we've talked about it since he got drafted, too, the idea of that Leo position and Dante Fowler coming into his second year but not being on the field last year. It seems like Ngakoue is the most reasonable guy to assume is going to be the direct backup to Dante Fowler Jr. right now for this football team. And he's obviously a third-round pick as a rookie coming in to play that role. So a lot of youth at that position. We're not exactly sure what it's going to look like. We know the expectations for Dante Fowler are out the roof. And it feels like he's a balanced all-around player, at least based on what we saw from him at the University of Florida, where there weren't a whole lot of question marks about what Dante did rushing the passer or stopping the run. He was a guy who was able to do all that and feels like he can naturally fill that position at the Leo spot. The question with a guy like Ngakoue is, who's going to come on the field on first or second down if Dante does need a breather at that spot right now? Because I'm not sure if Ngakoue is skilled enough to be a guy that you can rely on rush downs when you're not asking a guy to get after the passer. Who are they relying on to go on the field in that situation right now? I think it's an interesting question. And Ngakoue, if he's going hard right now in OTAs, I think it's because there are some of those things that he needs to be working on in his game.
Sure. Hey, you know what? I like, as Dave said, I like seeing he's got some of that dog in him, though. And I like the fact that multiple observers, even though you can't really talk about how he's being utilized, talking about what you see and how he looks, how explosive he looks,
quick. And
very quick. And Dante Fowler Jr. again singled him out when we talked to him earlier this week. Dave said, "Oh, you guys will see when it rolls around, when the season rolls around, what this guy is capable of doing." So let's hope that's the case. All right, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010 on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, or on the phone lines as well. I know the boys on the drill ran through this, but let's take a quick look at the Bleacher Report rankings. You know, for what they're worth, on the 10 worst rosters, least talented rosters in the National Football League. And we start with none other than the New York Football Giants. Fat Tony, a rebuttal to being ranked the 10th worst roster in the National Football League.
So they're saying the Giants are 23?
23, I guess that would be, yeah. Sound about right?
Sure. I mean, defensively, they got issues all over the place, and the offensive line is still a mess. So it's not like it's a great roster. It's got the wide receiver position is pretty panned out, and they know who's playing quarterback, and it feels like they got four or five guys that can play running back on that team. But other than that, and Jason Pierre-Paul, whatever he's going to be. But other than that, there's not a whole lot to say. This is the strength of this New York Giants roster, right?
Yeah, now. And the wide receiver. I think the starting wide receivers are certainly worked
out. They're strong.
They have no idea what they're going to do with Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz, no. You just don't know what you're going to get, if anything, out of him. And right now, I think you've got him as probably one of your top three guys.
Yeah, but they love Sterling Sharp.
They do. Shepard. Yeah.
Shepard, yeah. Yeah,
and
sorry.
I think he's going to be good, especially anybody lining up across from whatever team, the triple team, quadruple team Odell Beckham's going to draw, except for that, I guess, when he plays, who'd Josh Norman go to?
Washington.
Thank you.
So Cruz has turned into their albino tiger?
Yes.
A little bit.
He really has, Dave.
It's crazy how far he's fallen.
I mean, look, it's legit injury. It's not just like little soft tissue twinges or what have you, but he had a patella tendon issue. You don't see guys come back from that a lot of times, and certainly not many have come back to play at any kind of a high level. So
last year was a calf. He just couldn't get over a calf injury last year.
Which some people think was related, though, to the knee, to trying to kind of compensate for it a little bit. All right, moving along. Number 9, worst roster in the National Football League, the New Orleans Saints. Certainly they have Drew Brees at the top. Cameron Jordan is a very good pass rusher. They were awful defensively last year, and they still have a lot of questions, I think, defensively right now. They drafted Von Bell, which is kind of an indictment on Jarris Byrd, who they paid a ton of money to. They added Laurinaitis. Does he still have much left? We'll see. Danelle Ellerby, I think, is an underrated guy in that linebacking core, and they're expecting big things out of Stephon Anthony. But, it's really the Drew Brees show, Kent. I get the feeling, can this team, they're going to have to outscore teams just like they've always done under the Sean Payton regime.
There were a few games last year where Brees was struggling himself.
He was
trying to force a lot. He was throwing pick sixes, and he almost wasn't getting out of his own way. But then, kind of turned it around towards the end of the season, especially when they play the Jags.
I'm curious with this list already, just the first two teams mentioned. I've heard a lot of people picking the Giants to win the East already in 2016. I haven't heard a lot of people saying the Saints are going to win the NFC South, but I think I have heard people saying that they may be a team that gets back into playoff contention this year, and they have them as the 23rd and 24th rosters. I'm curious how many of the other 8 teams on this list are teams that people are considering serious playoff contenders.
I think, though, you look at the NFC East, don't you think everyone is a candidate to win that division, right? If Romo stays healthy, Dallas could bounce back in a big way. Washington won it last year.
Absolutely.
And, change of scenery in Philadelphia. We'll see how the quarterback situation plays out. Moving along, your week 2 opponent for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the San Diego Chargers, are weak, according to Bleacher Report. They are the 8th least talented roster in the National Football League, and one of the guys being singled out is Melvin Gordon. Had a terrible rookie season.
It really did.
Didn't score. Couldn't crack 4 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Which brings up the specter of Wisconsin running backs. I hate doing that. You know, people said that about Penn State running back forever, Dave. And then Larry Johnson came along and said, what are you talking about? I'm not Blair Thomas. I'm a different guy.
Yeah.
Right? But it just seems like the narrative is they get used to running behind those dominant offensive lines, and they get to the NFL and the talent evens out, and they're not used to making as many guys miss because they didn't need to.
I don't remember one highlight from him.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. There wasn't a highlight. There was nothing there. But anyway, I'm not going to get too deep into the Chargers. They were number 8 on the list of the 10 least talented rosters. Number 7 would go to the L.A. Rams. We'll just skip past them here quickly. We're not going to break each one of these down. You got Aaron Donald, you got Todd Gurley, you got some definite talent. Yeah. Robert Quinn needs to bounce back this year.
No quarterback there.
You like this one, though. Your number 6 least talented roster, meaning only 5 rosters are worse than this in the entire league, the Indianapolis Colts.
Love it.
Yeah, and we had Derek Schultz on, Tony, on Wednesday.
I mean, defensively, there's not much there.
They're apparently dog crap,
according
to Derek Schultz of Fox Sports Radio in Indianapolis. That is his phrase to describe the Colts' defense.
And questions about the offensive line.
Absolutely. 33-year-old feature running back with nothing behind him proven on the depth chart.
I mean, Luck and T.Y. Hilton, that's great, to have those kind of pieces on offense, but that doesn't make a great team or roster.
They list their impact starters as Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Jack Muhort, the left guard.
Boom.
You're already at the left guard. Defensive end Henry Anderson, who the story just came out yesterday, will, after getting hurt last season and missed the end of the year, will probably not be ready to open the season.
He was really good last year.
He was really good. He's a rookie last year. And then Vontae Davis, who is an excellent player at cornerback. So they are the sixth worst roster, according to this pundit anyway. The Chicago Bears come in at number five as the worst rosters in the National Football League.
Hey, this Jaguars schedule is littered with these rosters.
I know, right? The Atlanta Falcons committed at number four. Don't remember the result from last year.
Right.
That's the case. But Julio Jones, Jake Matthews, Devontae Freeman, and Desmond Trufant, impact starters. They don't list Matt Ryan as an impact starter. A lot of people feel he's not. The number three worst roster in the league, your AFC South Division rival, Tennessee Titans, ladies and gentlemen. I like that. So two of the Jags' divisional opponents are among the six worst rosters in the entire league, according to this story once again. Care to guess who the two worst rosters are in the league? This should be fairly
Cleveland
easy.
And San Francisco.
There you go. San Fran there number two, go. Cleveland number one, worst rosters in the NFL. Hey, look, at least the Jags don't find themselves represented on that list. I do think, Dave, the overall talent on the roster, as John Oger told us earlier, should be evident to people. You're going to see better athletes on the field next week. That's the hope. We don't know if they're going to be a better team yet, but starting with better raw material is a good place to start.
Man, if you can be faster, you're already that much better, just because you can make a mistake but make up for it and get to places that, you know, maybe some people aren't thinking you're going to be able to get to, and get the guys a whole lot quicker and get to the quarterback. That's the number one thing, honestly.
Get to the quarterback quickly, recover when you do make a mistake, when you get out of position, make up for somebody else's mistake. You know, just look, speed. Just get out to the edges and cut that scat back off before he turns the corner. It shows up everywhere on the National Football League field.
And that list is a little bit in contrast to the one we talked about last week with Pro Football Focus ranking all the NFL rosters 1 to 32. And the Jags coming in at 27 on that list. Look, Pro Football Focus, they have their number on these players. That's not about a feel for what they think these players are. It's, here's the number that we have assigned to these guys, and that's where it ranks against the other teams in the National Football League. How do we even rank Jalen Ramsey? How do we rank Miles Jack? How do we rank Dante Fowler Jr.? And this is somebody that's taken a view without having to say, here's a number. Blake Bortles is a 68, right? Instead of having to say Blake Bortles is a 68, he can look at it and say, Blake Bortles feels like he's an emerging top 10 quarterback in this league,
right?
And that affects how I feel about this roster, where Pro Football Focus just doesn't have that kind of flexibility.
No, it's just a pure statistical measure, and like we said, it's only as good as the input they put in. If you don't like their numbers, you're not going to like their ranking.
There's not going to be a lot of numbers that you like on a team that won five games.
Understood, but also we look at the roster additions that have been made this offseason, and that's where some of the hope certainly comes from. And I mentioned this the other day, Dave. I talked with a Denver Post reporter over the past weekend and was asking about the guys that they will miss. And he's like, you know, they can replace Trevathan. You know, Brandon Marshall moving there. They've got another guy moving into Marshall's spot. They're going to be fine. And Malik Jackson's another story. Like, and he didn't even know I was from Jacksonville when I was talking to him. He's like, this guy impacts the game in so many ways. Really thinks he's a special player. Did not think he was a product of, you know, the presence of Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. So let's hope so, man.
That's good.
The $90 million man got to earn that contract. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back, take a look at today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. We ask you, if you were Shad Khan for a day, what are the three things you'd like to do? First three things, at least, that you'd like to do. You're only Shad Khan for one single day, however. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, interesting responses today to the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Sometimes we get interesting ones. Sometimes it all has to do with the quality of the question. Tyler Devitt was kind of the brainiac behind this one today.
Tyler Devitt came up with a question that got us both fired multiple times.
Yes, fired FC.
I'm glad everybody understood the question to a T, so that's a good thing.
They certainly did, as is one of the last tweets I got in. Here's my answer for the question today. If I was the GM of the Jaguars, I'll stop you there. Okay, you're Shad Khan. Let me introduce you to Shot. He owns the Jaguars.
You're at the top of the totem pole here.
You own the team. What are the three things you do? They don't have to have anything to do with the Jags, but we're not making you Dave Caldwell for a day. That would be for the next offseason. That's not a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do as we head into free agency next year. What are the three things you'd like to get accomplished if you're Dave Caldwell? Shine that Lombardi trophy would be number one, right?
Nice.
I'm thinking. All right, let's get – I want to give you some of the – the people got into it on Facebook here, so let's start there with the three things they would do if they were Shad Khan for one day. Josh said, stop the war against Teal and bring back the beloved color on Jaguar home jerseys. I thought he was going to be all humanitarian there. So bring back some Teal.
Throwbacks, man.
Two.
The uniforms with the Jaguar on the shoulder.
Oh, so good.
Fantastic.
So good. Just for a game, right?
Yeah.
Even just for a game.
I want them back.
Bring back Sweet Home Alabama on game day and use a crowd-pleasing song as the formal introduction to the second quarter. And in honor of the Jacksonville Suns, institute a new event called the Thursday Throwdown on Sunday and sell buds for a buck. I'd buy that for a dollar. I bet you would. Maybe one game of the year.
Maybe.
Like your worst opponent on the
schedule. A dollar beer is a madhouse at Suns games.
Correct.
At Jaguars games.
How about a $3 beer at a Jag game?
That
still be
seems,
a madhouse,
it'd
right?
Still
even
be a madhouse.
$5 beer.
Yeah.
What do they go for? I honestly don't know.
It's probably like $7.50, $8.
$8 for like a 16 ounce, 20 ounce?
Yeah, I don't want dollar beer night at the Jaguars game.
Someone please tell us what a beer goes for at the stadium. We don't drink beer at the games.
That's
we're,
right. I've seen you
working.
Animals. I've seen you animals, yes, in the parking lot after games where they're charging full price for beer. I don't need you guys after Dollar Beer Day. There's not enough taxis or Ubers or buses in this city for you people.
No, especially when you consider who drives these Ubers, Tyler. All right, moving along. Let's go to Crown Prince Dock. I'd buy up the Metro Park area and build luxury hotels. All right, bring back teal uniforms.
Heck yeah.
And continue having the team conduct community service events like yesterday, adding the schools to discuss better life decisions via versus criminal behavior. Excellent. Yeah.
Cool.
Why not?
Yeah.
They do a lot of that. They go around to schools and give talks and things like that. So, but that's good. I like that. Here's another Josh. Joshua says, deposit some fat loot into my personal bank account. You would be Shad Khan. Your personal account would be Shad Khan's account.
Yeah, but do I know I'm going to be me again the next
day?
I
don't know. Maybe I should have, we only have 140 characters when we tweet this out. All right. So he said, apparently I'm a body snatcher, so I'm going to deposit some fat loot. A lot of people went with that. Bring back the teal and black. A lot of people care about these uniforms and all black and all white uniforms and do away with the new helmet. And number three, boats and hoes. I'm taking that I'm taking that boat or yacht of his out for a spin. Hashtag Jaguars today. Jamie went with number one, cut Luke Jokel. Two, better halftime shows. And three, under absolutely no circumstance would I bring back Sweet Home Alabama.
Whoa.
Oh, on the opposite side. And a fourth, leave the uniforms the way they are, with the minor exception of changing the helmet to matte black and the Jaguars logo to be a gold outline. So, in other words, you would not leave the uniforms the way they are, you're saying.
A caller calls in and says, a beer?
Beer.
Draft beer in a cup, you know, your normal beer.
Okay.
$10.
$10 for, I mean, what are we talking about, a 12-ouncer or
16? They're all over the place. The text line driven by Duval 4, we got one that just came in and said 9. The next one said $8. Then one said 22 ounces, $12. I have no idea. A beer is somewhere between $8 and $12.
So let's say a 22-ouncer is $12.
Okay.
So then you're talking about a can of beer, basically, is going for $6, roughly, right? I mean, that's the rough equivalent of it, right?
Something like that,
$5.50,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. You want to sell that for a dollar? You're a crazy person.
Not a dollar. $3 would be a significant discount, you know?
Or, so you got a 22-ounce for
like,
six?
Have like, or like a 16-ouncer
like cut
for
everything
three.
In half for a day.
Something like that.
Yeah, for one game.
For one game, for the worst, the least attractive game on the schedule.
Yeah.
Right? You need to be drunk to see this opponent.
If they lower the prices, if they lower the beer prices in half or even down to a dollar, I hope the Jaguars win because that could be an ugly scene at the bank with angry, drunk Jags.
You'd be making hay, Mr. Uber driver, though. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin said pick a helmet color, bring back some teal into the uniforms. Right, just pick a color. Go with one. Right? Go with
matte
one.
Black.
The gold. I like the gold.
I don't know if I want the all-gold helmet with the logo on the side. Like, I don't mind it if it was just gold, but it's going to be gold with the logo.
I understand. I don't know.
I kind of like the matte black with the logo.
All right. And we go on to sponsor a business program at a local high school. Okay? They look, the Jags do a lot of business outreach, too. By the way, I really like this guy. Glad he chose Jacksonville to enter the NFL. Speaking to his entree to the NFL, and I think he's been wonderful for the city. Agreed, Kevin. Larry says change the unis back to the original look of teal. Man, this is a consistent theme. Lower the beer and food prices. Watch Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke on the stadium's big screen.
Oh.
All right.
Very specific.
I can guess what number four was. Jeff said, high five Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell at the same time on the 50-yard line.
Okay.
Twist the tips of my mustache in the pool at Everbank while watching last year's highlight reel on the big screen and transfer $1 million to his, Jeff's, account. Okay. Just a million? Really?
I was going to say, you got billions.
Wait until like the 23rd hour and dump that thing in there. Chad said, take out the yacht and go fishing, jet skiing, drink all the booze on the yacht, then order more. I guess that's one. Set sail to the Bahamas and get as many ladies to attend that want to and fly them in with a helicopter. Got to get the steal the show lady on that boat, don't you? I mean, without question. Party on the yacht until I turn back into me. So there you have it.
It'd be a disappointing moment for all those ladies.
You're stealing the show. Right. Oh, look.
Oh, who is Dale?
Who? Kevin the Hater Mac. Have the team wear alternate teal jersey in London and another home game. Give Kevin the Hater Mac a radio show and a $2 million bonus so he can be called a hater all the time like Dempsey. Send Jim Irsay a bunch of prescription pills and drugs and then tip off the feds.
Wow.
Wow. Let's see. Johnny said Madden tournament on the big screen at the stadium. Select a random fan to go through an OTA practice. Put $50 million in Johnny's account out of generosity. See, he's thinking bigger now, at least. Matt said, go to breakfast at the best breakfast place in America. Right, so start. You have one day. What is the great day you can have? The greatest breakfast place. I love breakfast.
I do,
go to
too.
The greatest breakfast place you can find. Take my private plane for a ride to wherever my yacht is located. And then three, have a party sunset cruise on said yacht. He's just really, you know, trying to encapsulate that kind of one-day feeling. Douglas said, finally finished painting the helmets. All black. Announce it to the world after walking in to the song Back in Black. Three, drop the mic. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag do the right thing. Shot. Gareth said, only do one thing. Give me a season ticket for Loftus Road and Everbank so I can watch both my beloved Jags and Fulham FC. Okay. You're easy to please. Tommy, buy all the grocery stores in Nashville and discontinue the sale of mayonnaise. Like that. Watch the new Star Wars movie
on the black market.
Watch a new Star Wars movie on my Jumbotron while drinking beer in my pool. Three, fire Dempsey. Okay, I like it. John say call ESPN, tell them they have no clue about my team, and if you make any more false statements about us, you'll never be welcome here again ever. Make all preseason games free and tell the world we are here in Jacksonville to stay. He feels like he's probably said that a lot.
Yeah.
John said establish a 22Q foundation here in Jacksonville. Yep, 22Q, Google it. I did. That is a very nice thing. 22Q is for people, primarily, you know, children are dealt with at 22Q centers that are missing a chromosome, mm-hmm. right? And they have all kind of developmental issues and whatnot. Okay, so establish 22Q foundation. So here's finally one person who's not thinking of themselves. Put a retractable roof on top of the stadium and then take my son out on the yacht. All right, that's after doing such a nice thing, we'll give you a ride with the sun. Dustin said, fire Gus, cruise the Mediterranean, and enter the mustache competition circuit. And then Tony went with, give myself and my family jobs. Sorry, Dave, I'm the new GM. Ban the move the chains chant, replace with the war chant, and then change the team nickname to the Seminoles. So that's where he's going. Are we going to get Trey on the West Side, who's got three things that he would like to do if he were Shad Khan for a day? Trey, what are the three things you would do? How are you?
I'm good. I would want a Jag of the day. And what I mean by that is pick a fan, be it a kid or whoever, that shows the most team spirit. If they're Jag of the day, they get to go to the game for free. That's number one. Number two is bring back Brian Sexton to broadcast the games. Sorry, Frank. And number three, have Madden tournaments on the jumbo screen. That's all I got.
Have they done anything on the jumbo screen like that? I want to say they have at some point.
I don't
know. I don't know, like a full open tournament to everybody, but I could have sworn they've done something of that sort on there.
So Mario Kart would be really fun on that screen.
What's that? Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Anything would be fun, man. I want my throwback kid chameleon on there. Come on.
Come on, Halo.
Anybody ever play Toe Jam and Earl? right? You just walk around, grab presents, man. That'd be awesome.
I think that jumped a shark.
By the way,
he's using it.
I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back.
I'm
bringing it back.
Frank would not take offense to that, I don't think. Well, hey, Frank understands Brian Sexton has a lot of fans. There are a lot of Frank Frangie fans. They're just Jaguar fans that are happy no matter who is calling the game because they get to hear it. So, I don't think he would take offense to that as long as it's met in a good spirit. Now, look, Brian did the games for two decades, practically. He is, it's hard to escape. Anytime you hear classic highlights, you're always going to hear Brian Sexton. He's always going to be a part of the fabric, and now so will Frank Frangie,
yep,
for that matter, and hopefully for a long time, because that means 1010XL has the rights to the games for a long, long time as your flagship home, yeah, of Jaguar football.
A couple of the notable answers on Twitter, by the way.
Yes.
That we got from Black Dog Express: all season tickets purchased today will include, one, the London game, two, four nights hotel and golf, and three, first-class airfare to that said London game. That's pretty nice of you as the owner for one day to just give to everyone who wants to buy tickets that particular day. From Cameron, he said, build my own stadium because I'm a billionaire. Build walkovers to fix traffic issues and donate to the VA. From Christopher, have a party on my boat. Pay LeBron and Kobe to play one-on-one and then buy a block in New York City. Just buy a
why
block.
Not? And have a hell of a block party.
That's pretty great stuff.
Yeah. How about this? Send, because they want to go so badly, okay? Lauren Brooks, I'm talking to you. Send the Helmets and Heels show to London for the London week,
mm-hmm,
okay? But only send three of them.
Oh.
And let them fight it out for who gets to go. Who gets left back in the States? I don't know. I don't know who that would be. We'll have to scrap it out. Murphy's always working out. I think Murphy would hang. Very well. I don't know. I can't get into how they would settle that whole thing. That would be awful, man. It would be terrible for them. Be great for us. Terrible for them. All right, because I like the drama. Dave, again, Retro Fitness. Go to RetroJax.com. You got Retro Rage. If you're not into the Retro Rage, if you can't handle that high-intensity outdoor workout, you got plenty of other stuff for folks to enjoy, right?
Plenty of other stuff. We have a ton of cardio machines. We have free weights. We have personal trainers. So if you need some help, you need somebody to get you in there and get you into shape, we have that. And we also have a cardio theater where you can work out and watch Star Wars and all those really cool movies while you get a little treadmill work in.
Nice.
You know? You kind of forget that you're actually working out because you're watching a cool movie.
By the way, have you seen the new X-Men?
No, I have not.
Wasn't sure. Yeah, all right. We'll have to get your review of that when, okay, you finally get around to seeing it. Tony, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's entertaining.
It's a vehicle for X-Men fans.
Yeah.
It's not going to draw on anybody who hasn't enjoyed X-Men movies before, but for those of us who have.
Once again, Quicksilver the best, right?
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, he stole the show
again,
in a lot of ways.
You got to love to steal the show. All right, that'll do it for us. Dave, have a great weekend.
I will.
Hopefully we'll see you're going to make it out to minicamp practice at all next week.
I will try.
All right, that's a very non-committal I will try right there out of David Garrard. So we hope to see you out there. We hope to see a bunch of you out there. I hope to see you on Wednesday. Tony hopes to see you on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Time is getting short, which is good for you, the listener, because apparently, based on the feedback today, less Dempsey is better Dempsey, right? So I will oblige, and I've got two more shows here in the month of June, one next week and one on the 30th, and the rest of you can just fend for yourselves with Fat Tony. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. They sponsor the show every Friday. For Fat Tony, for David Garrard, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for John Osier, for joining us on the program today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy Jags minicamp next week. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.